Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of TriCatch powered by EI2. We are here today with some of our teammates from Strategy and Innovation here at Farm Credit Services of America, Ag Country, and Frontier Farm Credit. My name is Sydney Andreessen. I'm an application developer, and I'm going to be the host for today, but I'm going to hand it off to these folks now to briefly introduce yourselves, how you got to where you are today, what is the focus of your role now, and what you love about it.
All right. Hi. My name is Michael Jarrow. I'm a fairly new innovation manager here at FCSA. Before coming here, I was at a financial services firm for over 18 years. I was involved in a lot of different transformational efforts where I got to be part of our continuous improvement program, establishing an innovation program, and even leading our innovation pipeline strategy and culture efforts for a lab. And through all of that, I really fell in love with this corporate innovation space. So when the time came for a job change, I was really thrilled to join Farm Credit Services of America as an innovation manager, where I'm getting to bring kind of all of that history and experience to bear in focusing on maturing what is an already amazing strategic innovation program that we're looking to partner with teammates across our collaboration to solve problems in new creative ways, both harnessing the expertise of teammates who are already here and even looking outside of our four walls for inspiration and partnership. But even more importantly, I'm loving working with this amazing team sitting around this table and on the call, and for a company with a culture that I fell in love with in the first couple of weeks and knew I wanted to be here long term, serving the people who literally serve us.
Awesome. Amy?
Thanks, Michael, and thanks, Sydney, for having us today. I'm Amy Wagner. I'm also an innovation manager. Background a little bit is kind of a little bit different. I was a teacher for 5.5 years prior to going on to innovation. I taught business and computer science in Omaha here for the 5.5 years. While I was teaching, I had a wide variety of experiences because I had summers off, and so I was able to experience other industries. So, for example, I was a CNA. I worked at Delta Airlines. I had the opportunity to intern at Farm Credit here, actually, as an app dev. And so I fell in love with the culture here and stuff like that. And I decided when I left teaching, wasn't sure what I was going to do. And I always wanted to end up back at Farm Credit because, as Michael talked about the culture here, I always knew I wanted to end up back here. And so when I left teaching, I went to a bank and found innovation. And I was teaching entrepreneurship. And so that kind of spurred my innovation love and trying new things and stuff like that. And so that when I found the job at the bank for innovation, it hit home, and it was very realistic and easy for me to fall in love with innovation. And so then when the opportunity at Farm Credit Services of America opened up for innovation managers, I was like, this is it. Like, this is the role I want to go back into. And so I got the job, and I've loved every minute of it here so far. And I'm really focusing on our plug and play partnership right now. And then kind of an alignment with retail and insurance currently. So that's kind of where I'm at right now, and really, really love the opportunity.
Awesome. Thank you. And Zach?
Hi, everybody. Zach Macklin. I'm the equity portfolio manager here at FCSA. I manage the private equity activities for FCSA, Frontier, and Ag Country. We invest via the USDA's Rural Business Investment Program, which focuses on creating jobs and furthering rural prosperity through equity investments in small agribusinesses and other industries that affect rural Americans' daily life. I've been in and around agriculture and finance my entire professional career. After having spent a few years in New York City as an investment banker, I relocated to Chicago to help an insurance company invest in agribusiness and timberland. 5 years ago, returned home to my hometown of Omaha, where I took over the association's activities in the private equity space. My main focus is to identify and partner with the top investment managers in the country who have experience investing in rural America and agriculture. I aim to craft my portfolio following the Yale model, which was popularized by the Yale University's endowment that emphasizes diversification and active asset management within a private equity and venture capital allocation. I'd have to say the best part of my role is the daily exposure to many new companies, investment strategies, and smart people looking to help further rural America via equity investment. Seeing new ag technologies and innovative companies succeed thanks in part from our capital contributions, is incredibly rewarding.
Awesome. Thank you, Zach. And that's our group here in Omaha, but we've got Dane joining us remotely today. Could you introduce yourself, Dane?
Yeah, I'm Dane Braun. I'm in the Fargo office here, and I joined recently as well as Michael. So Michael, I think, is a week longer on the job than I am. So I'm an innovation manager here at Farm Credit Sources of America, Egg Country Farm Credit, and Frontier Farm Credit. It's a mouthful, but it's an important mouthful with this collaboration that we're doing. I grew up on a farm in Wheaton, Minnesota, so I'm a farm kid by background. I am a girl dad. That's a new thing, newish thing. So that's very exciting and changes your whole perspective of life. And I had a background in government affairs. I worked for the government for a while. And then actually I spent some time at a startup here in Fargo. Bushel is the name of the company. And we built software in agriculture, both for farmers and agribusinesses, and got to experience what a startup was like, which is really exciting, challenging, has all the things of a startup, sleeping on couches, trying to get code out in the middle of the night, fixing problems, talking to customers. There's lots of highs and lows, lots of celebrations. It's a lot of fun. And I joined in here, excited to try to bring some of those mindsets a little bit in different areas to Farm Credit Sources of America. I don't think we're going to be sleeping on couches here by any means. I hope not. but I think we can do some prototyping and experimenting, especially as we look to new business models within Farm Credit and within the ecosystem. So far, what I love about this job is the variety. There is so much going on, from AI work to things in finance that I never knew anything about. I mean, I was a software guy, so this is all new stuff. And then there's so many smart people here. I love working with the smart teammates, from the marketing team all the way to the engineers. Like, there's just so many smart people at this organization. And then lastly, this is an awesome job because it's my connection to rural America, growing up in a small town, growing up on a farm. Like, how can I help kind of rise the tide for all ships and help the whole agriculture industry in rural America? And I think this is a great opportunity to do that and work alongside wonderful teammates like you all on this podcast, but the many other that we have working here as well. So thank you again.
Awesome. Thank you. We're happy to have all of you with us today. And as you're from the Strategy and Innovation team, we are talking about innovation today, which can be a huge topic and take on many different meanings. But as we talked a little bit about before recording this, this group kind of thinks about innovation in a way that can be broken down into three categories: being inspired, being connected, and creating measurable value. So first, Michael, can you start us off on the topic of inspiration?
Yeah, this idea that innovation is inspired sounds really big. And what does that really mean? There's a couple of pieces that we think help us define that. So a couple maybe key words. First one, the innovation is forward thinking. There's this really popular thought that was brought forth by Clayton Christensen, this idea of the innovator's dilemma. And that is that it is really difficult to run the business with what's right in front of you and grow the business for the future. And doing those two things at the same time are tough. They take different skills and thinking and leadership qualities even. But we know that that's what we need to do. And our collaboration believes that we are all innovators. It's one of our values, right? And because of that, we've made investments in this space. Our team is one of those investments, but we're also not the only investment in that space, so that we can both run the business in front of us and be thinking toward the future. So we get a chance to keep an eye on the future and then partner with all of our expert teammates across the organization to drive real value for the collaboration and for our producers at the same time. And that's how we get to think about being inspired by looking toward the future. Another thing about being inspired is that we really want to be strategy led. In one of my former roles, we got really excited about this idea that we could be the home for homeless ideas. We could, you know, there's this kind of inherent romanticism to be taking something that nobody wanted and making it great. And then, of course, they'll want it, but the reality we came to realize, or the reality is, if it's homeless when it gets here, it'll be homeless when it leaves. So we really need to start with strategy first. And that's what we think is really important. That strategy inspires our thinking of where to explore. And when you combine that with that forward thinking viewpoint, we're now just not solving problems that face us today, but we're also, again, being inspired by our strategy to direct that forward thinking into the right places to explore. And the last thing, and we're going to talk about this, I think, a lot more through the conversation, but we believe that it's action-oriented. Innovation is action-oriented, and that action inspires learning. And so when, I mean, there's an old saying, right? There's no perfect time to have kids. If you wait for the perfect time, it'll never come. And I'm not saying every analogy breaks down. So I'm not saying go out and have kids to everybody on this podcast. But what I'm saying is, if we wait for the perfect time to take action, it'll never come. And so the idea is, as we're exploring, we find ways to wisely and, you know, in a risk management kind of way, take action to explore and learn, because that learning inspires where our innovation goes next. As I said, we're probably going to unpack that a lot more as we go through other parts of this. But I think that's where I would leave it for right now. Action inspires learning that helps us think about where our innovation should go.
Thank you so much for that intro. Dane, did you have something to add?
I think you said something really important there. You said it provides customer value. And I think innovation can sometimes be thought of as invention. Like, we're just doing all these cool things in a room and we're playing with robots and AI and I don't even know, but and creating patents. But that's not innovation. That's invention. Like, innovation is both inventing new business models, inventing new ways of doing things, inventing new technology, and also providing customer value and commercializing that. So I think you touched something that was really important that I wanted to make sure our listeners heard that as well, that it takes both to be innovation.
Thank you so much for emphasizing that. And we're off to a great intro here. Can we go into connectedness with Amy, please?
Yeah, thanks. So kind of like Michael, we kind of have three things that we're kind of really focused on for connectedness. So the first one is collaborative. So we work with a lot of other associations such as American iCredit, CoBank, Compeer. There's so many different associations within the farm credit system that we're working with, but we're not just working with other associations. We're also working with partners such as Plug and Play, the Combine, out of Lincoln, UNL, INEDA, the Iowa Nebraska Equipment Dealer Association. So there's a lot of different collaborations that we are working on within our innovation teams to help us be forward thinking, to be strategy led, to be action oriented. All those things that Michael talked about already, they're inspiring us to move forward with some different collaborations that we're working on. I think collaboration within innovation is a must, because if we're not being collaborative, we're working siloed. And I think it's super important that we are making sure that we are working together, because otherwise we're not going to be forward thinking, we're siloed. And I think our partnership with EI2 is super important too, because we were working together on a lot of different experiments and looking at, okay, well, this is what the innovation team's seeing. Let's work together and figure out an experiment that we can work, that you guys can run while we are doing some other efforts within collaboration. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really important. The next one I want to kind of talk about is insight driven. So we look at a lot of different trends and insights through different research firms, newsletters. We use our Harvest Insights panel, that is our customer insights team that works together with another company. And we are able to talk with customers, we're able to do surveys, and it's really, really helpful in making decisions and making sure that we're heading in the right direction with new things or experiments that we're running. So for example, we did a concept test with the Harvest Insights panel last year, and we stopped that experiment because the insights that we were given from the survey from our Harvest Insights panel, it was not relevant at that point. And so we had to stop that experimentation, and we learned through those insights. And so it was really, really helpful because we didn't have to spend more money doing that stuff. The last one I would say is being transparent. We love to share what we're working on. It's super important to be transparent about our projects, as this helps make decisions for not only strategic planning, but to make sure that we're on the right path for the future for the system and also our customers. We want to make sure that we're staying relevant. We want to make sure that we are constantly looking at new trends and insights and being collaborative, but also sharing what we've learned, because there's positives in innovation, but there's also failures. And we like to talk about the failures too, especially on our team, because we learn something during those failures. And so that's kind of the three things that we really focus on when we are talking about connectiveness.
Thank you, Amy. I as you're talking about those and explaining them, I draw a lot of connections back to the agile process mm-hmm. that we do right. on the tech-specific yes. side and, you know, learning, failing fast, and then, you know, getting quick feedback and changing direction if we need to.
Yep.
And it's really cool how that all intertwines.
Well, and I think you're hitting something that's really important there. I'm sorry to break in.
No, but go ahead.
When we look at how we think about continuous improvement and what our business process team is working on, when we think about how we develop product and how we have agile practices, we even think about the daily problem solving that happens on a frontline team that is seeing something happening and then as a team discussing how to approach it and change it. And then when we think about how we look even further out, mm-hmm. these couple of years forward with the forward thinking that we were mentioning just a second ago, all of these things, they relate and they're based on the same principles and they're based on the same values. And so you're right. We all get to be a part of this kind of tapestry, I like to call it, of innovation and improvement that goes across our entire organization. Every teammate gets to connect to that statement that we are innovators because we all have a place where we can connect and play with these same approaches and thinking and related values.
I love that. And I love when we get chances to like understand, you know, wherever we are in that funnel and how we do connect to that innovator's mindset. Thank you. Now I'm going to hop over to Dane to talk to us about that third category of what innovation is, and that is creating measurable value.
Yeah, thanks, Sydney. You know, back to kind of the definition of innovation, it's invention and commercialization. So the commercialization piece or the customer value piece is the actual measurable. How do we create something that's measurable? That can be really, really difficult when you're starting a new business model or a new product. You kind of have to get creative on what that measurable value is. But ultimately, you want the customers to be happy, and maybe if it's an internal thing or maybe it's a combination, you also want our teammates to be happy and provide value to them. So, you know, early on, what is value? Value can be measured simply by signups. If it's a new product, for example, it could be measured as clicks or maybe the time to value in a thing goes down. So if something used to take an hour of inputting data in order to get a response or get value out of it, can we make that 30 minutes? Can we make that 20 minutes? Those are all like key metrics, measurable things that could be valuable. And then as the product goes from more of this experiment prototype into a more established business, like you can start to measure value actually based on revenue, right? So are customers using this product or service? And if they are, they're paying something. Something is being paid and transacted for that, and that can kind of come. That can be used as a sense of value. Like, are they getting value of it? And if they're recurring, if they're returning, coming back every year, that's also a measurable thing to show that there's value there. And you can also measure churn. How many customers are leaving? How many customers have left? Ultimately, long term, you can even look at the lifetime value of a customer. What value do they provide to the organization? And, you know, our customers are our owners as well. So like it's always fun to think about it that way. But in the sense of like the more value we can provide, we can also provide value back to them or in patronage. Right. So super interesting there. But that's how we kind of look at measuring value. I'd love to hear Michael or Amy, you have any other thoughts here?
I think one of the things you kind of mentioned, but there's many sides. I guess there's usually just two sides to a coin, but I suppose there could be maybe many legs to the stool of value. I'm not sure what the right analogy there is, but you know, mentioning that the best value is a one, and the best innovation is one that is creating value for both our customer producers and customer owners and for us, but then also for, as Zach was alluding to earlier, rural America at large. There are ways that we have an opportunity as a collaboration to impact the greater picture. And you mentioned that as well. I just think that's a really cool thing. And when we can find that, you know, everybody's favorite business Venn diagram where those things overlap, there's really something special special there.
Yeah, and that goes back to the connectedness of collaboration too. So it's not just our customers and our teammates, but we want to make sure that agriculture is staying relevant and sustainable. And so that's another kind of thing that we have to look at is we're working together with other associations or farm credit entities or banks is to make sure that we are staying relevant and also making sure that agriculture is safe. Like, we want to make sure that we have sustainability within our food system and stuff like that, going back to our mission.
Absolutely. I love how you guys are tying it all back to the previously mentioned concepts. And another one I heard is how we're creating these measures, which then directly can feed back into doing insights-driven activity as well.
That's right.
So now that we've talked about these few different concepts and ideas about what we would consider innovation to be, Michael, can you finish up this picture for us by telling us what innovation is not?
Yeah, there's a lot of really common misconceptions. We've actually already touched on many of them, right? And as nice as it is to say, well, innovation is forward thinking, or it's inspired, and innovation is connected, and it creates value, measurable value. It's also, that still leaves a lot of room. So maybe the other side of this, of what it isn't, can be helpful in just focusing where we go. And so, as I said, we've already talked about some of this. One is thing that innovation isn't, is innovation is not predictable. It's not a straight line. We learn new things and we make decisions because of it. One of my favorite quotes of all time is from an economist, Paul Samuelson, Nobel Prize winning, brilliant guy, used to get picked on in the media because he would say something. And then a few months later, he would say something different that seemed to contradict. And when pressed on that, he said, well, when I get new information, I change my mind. What do you do? And that's the thing about experimentation, like Dana was talking about. We're going to learn new things all the time, and we're going to make informed decisions based on the evidence that we get. And so part of looking out several years is trying to get information so that we can make those decisions we didn't predict we were going to make. Not everything is straight ahead of us. Another thing, innovation is not comfortable. There's a myth out there that if you just pivot enough, we'll come to the perfect answer, remove all doubt. And that simply is not going to happen, especially when you're exploring new things and you're looking out of ways. The reality is innovation is all about making decisions with incomplete and sometimes even conflicting information. And all credit for that statement to the wonderful folks at Strategizer. There is this reality that we need to be comfortable being uncomfortable when we are exploring new things. It causes us to challenge ourselves and our own thinking, but it should always lead to learning and to growth if we stay open to that kind of uncomfort. The next couple of things that innovation isn't, Dane has already really kind of talked about a little bit. It's not just technology. There's a lot of different ways to innovate on products, but also on services, on the way that we partner and who we partner with, the customers that we're serving, and certainly on technology. We're going to use technology to deliver value in new and effective ways. And so that's always going to be a part of the innovation story. But the thing that opens the innovation story up to all of our teammates is that it's not only technology. I am not a coder, and I don't even always understand the newest technologies. But that isn't the only way that we can change our business model to deliver value more effectively, both in the way that we capture value back as an organization and in what we deliver to our customers. And then lastly, this is something Dane said a little bit ago. It's not just ideas, right? Ideas are a really critical part of innovation, but they're not the whole story. And I'm going to say a lot of things we've already said, right? If you have an idea, but it's not solving a real problem for a real customer and creating value along the way, that measurable value we've already talked about, then you're not really delivering innovation. It's just kind of a cool idea. And that is a really important thing for us to catch hold of. It's not just ideas. Ideas are just a beginning of that overall innovation story.
Now, I know we have two different roles represented here between you three on the innovation manager side and then Zach on the portfolio side. And even though there's only two titles, we have kind of four different angles you all look at all of this at. So first, I will start with Michael on how you work from the educate lane.
Yeah, the educate lane is maybe a bit of a misnomer because it might make us feel like it's all about teaching stuff, but it's bigger than that. And like Amy's even alluded to some of this already, right? Our goal is to develop a culture of innovation, or really strengthen an existing culture of innovation that celebrates both our successes and our failures, as Amy mentioned earlier, because we learn from both of those things. So in this kind of educate lane of the work that we do, how we activate on everything we've been talking about, there's going to be knowledge and skill building, of course, and we're going to be continuing to develop materials that help people learn. And that feels kind of like that traditional education. But just as Amy mentioned in when we were defining what it means to be connected, we also want to be transparent. And so storytelling is a big part of this. So on the one side, we're going to be developing structures and processes, or again, I should say, strengthening existing structures and processes that invite every teammate to be engaged in this, you know, improvement and innovation story and in all the different ways that they can. We're going to be continuing to define approaches and thinking and developing common language that connects everyone, like we were speaking of earlier when you brought up, you know, the agile practices and how that's connected. So how do we continue to harmonize that language so that we're speaking the same language and connecting? But then that transparency of storytelling about how we're activating on our innovation journey, those successes, those failures, what we're learning, most importantly, from them, maybe even how we're getting to tell that story outside our four walls, within our four walls, like when the chairman of the FCA visited and we got to share with him and he got to see and his team what's happening here and in Lincoln and around this innovation space. And it inspired him to even specifically call out that trip in a later meeting that he was engaged in weeks later. You know, those storytelling events, those opportunities for us to both tell our story out and then even tell that story kind of inside the organization or part of that way that we're going to continue to activate on this kind of educate, get everybody connected. And it should also be in partnership, right? It should be in partnership with teammates, like what we're doing right this moment, but also in how we tell that improvement in product and innovation and development story as we go on. And so look for events like the one we had in Fargo just last week, where we got to expose anyone who was able to attend to these four new startups and learn some new things about where we're going in ag tech. But then there will be some just really internally focused things where we get to tell our story about what cool stuff is happening in business process, in EI2, in product, in the innovation team, and beyond. We'll be bringing much, much more of that your way. And so, you know, keep an eye out for those things.
Awesome. So if I find a teammate that isn't sure how they in their role connects to our We Are Innovator statement, I'm sending them your way.
Yeah, sure. Send them my way and absolutely our way, because we all have an opportunity to connect there. Yeah.
All right. And Dane, can we go to you with the experiment lane that you focus on?
Yeah, definitely. I think Michael touched on earlier of why experiment is earlier. I don't know if you know this, but he mentioned something about making decisions with incomplete data or incomplete information. And that's why you experiment. And I think, you know, through the decision-making process, I like to think of it as three components when you're thinking about doing something or making a decision. It's one, your intuition, which comes from market insight and what are competitors doing, research. That's kind of a gut thing. It's your assets. What are you actually capable of doing? What are you best at? And then lastly, it's the voice of the customer. Like, what does the customer actually need? And I say lastly, but that's actually the most important, is what does the customer or the teammate need? And you can't get a complete picture of perfect information. So you have to find some comfortability in making a decision and running an experiment, a prototype, a research project. It doesn't always have to be a full-on experiment where we build something. It can simply be a research project too as well, or a design, a Figma, a prototype. There's so many tools and ways to do this. And what I'm really excited about here is we have the tools here. We have the smart teammates that are capable of doing this. We have tools that allow us to flag features on and off. We have tools that let us personalize the functionality of things for each individual customer that comes to the platform and allows us to do some A/B testing. So in my role, I'm really trying to evangelize this and enable others to think about it in an experiment standpoint, and really look at each of the challenges or the things that we want to do and make sure we answer some important questions. What is the problem? What is the problem that we want to try solving? Is it worth solving? And are we best positioned to solve it? Those are three important questions. And then let's go experiment. Let's find the solution, a solution, experiment, try, test, learn, build, measure, learn, iterate, experiment, experiment, experiment. I'd love for us to continue to drive more experiments in the organization. I don't think we'll ever get to this level, but we should have a goal in mind. For example, booking.com is running 1,000 experiments at any given time. 1,000 experiments. That's crazy. Just think if we could do 10, 100. That would be wonderful. But we got to build that muscle. There's a muscle that needs to be built, both a cultural muscle and then some of the software and architecture has to be built up, and just that mindset. So I think it's a process, and I'm really excited to be here. We have the teammates, the smart teammates. We have some of the technology already that we can get started, and I think it's just great for the organization to be able to experiment more and build, measure, learn.
And if I can yes and to that, because that was all awesome, I would hope that people see us as a partner in figuring out how to maybe run an experiment or explore something, right? I heard once somebody say experimentation is all it really is fast, cheap information discovery. We're just trying to get information. So if you're trying to experiment on a strategy, you might do that through our insights team by running a survey and really understanding what customers care about, and it informs your strategy. Or it could go all the way down to the lowest level, not the lowest level in importance, but in fidelity, like what Dane was just talking about, being able to turn features on and off in partnership with our technology teams, right? And being able to get to that level of fidelity on an experiment. And then everything in between is possible. And so hopefully, folks see us and, people around the organization, there's always opportunities to partner on how we might test something, how we might experiment something, how we might find out new information that we didn't have yesterday that'll help us make a decision with just that little bit more of evidence.
Yeah, that's spot on, Michael. We're the enablers. We're the ones that guide and help. We can't do it alone. There's no way. We want to be helpful to other teammates in the organization and help them figure out how to experiment. You're dead on right there.
I want to interject on this because I think this is really important to call out. Like, we have to work with business units to be able to do that. So connectiveness within the association, our own four walls, but also outside. Like, we want to partner with a lot of different companies or ourselves within the Farm Credit Services America, Ag Country, Frontier. Like, we have to work with the business unit to be able to run some of these experiments because they're the experts really in that area. So I just wanted to point that out too.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I can't tell you how much I believe in that, Amy, 100%. I mean, at the end of the day, all of this is evidence for the people closest to the work, closest to the action. We have people here with years. We have departments with hundreds of years combined of experience and expertise to make wise decisions based on the information that we can help them find and that they can find for themselves and that we can all partner together to find.
We want to enable that.
We want to enable that, just like you and Dane said. Yeah, 100%.
I'll stretch out this topic for just a little longer. I want to reemphasize the point that Dane made earlier about building that muscle. And I think that you guys have a lot of power to like open minds in that way. Because I mean, I'm guilty of, I hear the word experiment and in my head, I'm imagining like glassware from chemistry with like a green potion in it or something. And, or like something that comes out with something super concrete and all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is done. It's like, well, no, that isn't what experimentation is. And I can't speak for everybody, but in my own role as in day-to-day development, you know, I might get tunnel visioned, but like the way that you guys can help open up ideas for experimentation and all these different levels of fidelity and different modes of experimentation is really important and valuable.
A real example of that, I worked with an organization that used something very much like Teams that had apps that could plug in, and the tech team just kept getting questions of, can you please put this app in there? Let us have access to this app. And they were just getting inundated with this. So they decided to do what you would call like a false door or a painted door experiment. And they put, they let people request apps, but they waited until they hit, kind of like Dane's comment earlier about a wait list. They waited until they hit enough information, because the number of times that they enabled an app, went through the security protocols and everything to turn it on within that system, it was Slack, but a lot like what you would do in Teams. And then no one ever downloaded and used it. It was very like, okay, we're wasting time. So they waited until they ran experiment, an ongoing, always on experiment, to wait until they saw enough interest in something. It's like, okay, now we'll go ahead and put the work into it. That was just something one of the engineers on the team decided to do. And he was able to make a really good, like, run this test on one thing, and then it became just the way that they did everything. All because they just look for a way to get more information before making a decision. And so, yeah, we all have an opportunity to follow that scientific method that we learned in, you know, what, junior high or middle school or whatever it was. We have an idea, so we have an hypothesis, and then we do some stuff to see if we're right. That's all it is. I mean, that's all it is.
All right, let's go to Amy now. Leaving the experiment side behind, I'm sure we'll be back to it, but now on to the explore side of things.
Yeah, so we look at explore as forward thinking, kind of similarly what to Michael talked about with Inspired, is we're forward focused on where technology or the industry is going. And I know we talked a little bit about this in connectedness as well, but kind of looks at our external partnerships, such as Plug and Play, Grand Farm, external education, market research. This also goes back to the RBIC stuff too, where we can utilize our equity portfolio managers to kind of look at the trends that they're seeing or touch base with them. I think we have a quarterly meeting with one of the fund managers that we can talk about what we're seeing, but also what they're seeing. So we can go back into looking at the trends and insights that we've talked about already. And I know I feel like I'm beating the dead horse right now, but it's just, it all interconnects.
Yeah, it does.
And I think it's really, really important that we call that out. And similarly, like, When we go to experimentation, we have to explore the stuff first. And so I feel like explore is going to come before the experimentation part, because we have to understand through surveys, we have to understand through design sprints or the work that we do with EI2 to be able to do an experimentation. We have to explore what that topic is, make sure that there's actually a problem there to be able to do the experimentation, to look at the success measurements that we've talked about already. And so the exploration really is looking forward thinking, but also looking, digging into the problem to really go deeper into the problem to then find a solution, and then rely on our external partnerships or even ourselves to come up with a solution for the problem that we're experiencing. And so again, it goes back to looking, working with the business units too, to find the problems that they're facing or our customers, because I think that's also important to point out that we talk to our customers daily, and we can utilize our teammates, such as our FOs or insurance officers, to say, hey, your customers are experiencing all these different problems. Like, why we should be working together to then be able to find a solution for them. And so a lot of times we will either hear from our FOs, we'll talk with our customers, we'll use our insights research panel to explore and look for those problems to then help innovate or solve those problems. And so I think that's kind of where we're looking for explore, and it kind of all funnels together with an education too, because if we aren't sharing our story, if we're not telling the correct stories, there's just a lot of different things that we need to look at and also rely on each other to help to be successful in innovation.
I'll quickly say, and I love what you said there about, like, we could be doing this exploration with teammates and with customers. And at the risk of sounding like I'm playing the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, every change that we make in the organization ultimately results in a value, or should. That's what we need to measure and make sure that it's right. But it ultimately results in a value. And if we provide better value even to a teammate, that's ultimately going to help our customer owners as well.
Yep.
And so that's a really cool thing, is that we get to explore both of those arenas.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I think having three dedicated teammates focused on researching the trends and distilling down the information that our customers are providing us is incredibly helpful to me, at least in the investment process, because, you know, I can then help craft a thesis that says, well, this is all well and good that we have all this ag technology, but if we don't have, say, the broadband connectivity, where are we going to go? So then I can go out and find investment managers who have that experience to help put that kind of money to work to help solve that problem. Now, it's like the scientific method, although my experiments are a little longer, 10 years on average. So,
well, that's a great intro getting back to Zach here now after the intros. So as we heard earlier, you know, and you just said your focus is on the portfolio, a little different from our innovation managers. Can you keep talking to us about the connection between investment and innovation? How are those tied? And if I could like nudge you in a little direction, can you tell us about the Rural Business Investment Program?
Sure. I think I'd be happy to expand on that. I think it's probably best to start with what the Rural Business Investment Program is. The RBIP was created in the 2002 Farm Bill as a mission-related investment program. It grants the USDA the authority to license investment managers to run private investment funds that focus on investing in companies that are in rural areas and primarily within the agribusiness space. There are several other stipulations, but once these managers are licensed, then the investment manager can come solicit the farm credit system for equity capital. The managers pool this capital together, and then they invest it on our behalf according to a predefined strategy that we underwrote, which often then takes into account the trends that our innovation managers have helped define. The overall goal of the program is to invest in rural businesses that create jobs, grow local economies, and support the overall welfare of the rural population. Since 2014, the farm credit system as a whole has committed over $1.8 billion in total capital to the Rural Business Investment Program. And I'm happy to report that since inception, the program has helped create over 3,100 new jobs. It supports a further 8,800 jobs. And the 150 plus portfolio companies have generated over $2 billion in revenue over the past year. And as an added benefit, any profits that we make as a participant in these investment funds are included in the patronage distributions made to our customer owners. So back to your original question, how is innovation investment connected? I think it's pretty simple. Innovation and good ideas require capital to get off the ground and become viable products or services. You know, think about all of the products that you use on a daily basis. I'd wager that the majority of these companies that produce them were at one time looking for investors. I'd also like to say that, you know, our portfolio has significant exposure to ag tech and other early stage companies. This is where the crossover with the innovation managers is so critical. Having a direct connection to what our customers are seeing from an operational standpoint is valuable to our investment managers when reviewing new potential investments. Our innovation team also regularly makes introductions to these new companies, which our investment managers view as an important source of deal flow. If we can fund and develop the next generation of, say, ag equipment, seed technology, or processing companies, for example, that's a win-win situation. It potentially helps our customers optimize their operations and generate more profit, which in turn boosts their credit profile.
Awesome. Well, that's how it all gets off the ground and gets going. Thank you, everybody, for this introduction to innovation. And that's what this episode has really been intended to be, an introduction to all these concepts that are so important to innovation. And we intend to do a little mini series here with different folks from this team, bringing the same people back. And so that'll include like how we find ideas, more on that exploration topic, how we activate on ideas, and then getting into some trends in kind of the combination space that we exist between ag, finance, and tech. So I will end it out with a thank you to all four of you and to our listeners listening. And stay tuned for the next episode of TriCatch powered by EI2. Have a good one.